On Wednesday last week, I went to one of our local primary schools, and the children all of last week were doing something called prayer spaces. And the children, class by class, were taken into an area where they had different opportunities. And it was wonderfully creative and brilliant to sit with some of these children, almost none of whom had any church background, and talk to them about their experience and their understanding of prayer. And in one section, there was a large board, and the children were asked to write questions for God. If you had anything you wanted to ask God, what would it be? Write it down and stick it on the board. And the group who were there when I visited were year two, so 6 and 7 year old children. Here are some of their questions to God. Where do you live? Are there pets in heaven? Why can't I see you? Why do people have different color skin? Why did Jesus die? Why is my mum an alcoholic? And this last one, do you believe in me and my family? And as I walked around and talked to some of these children, the same age as Chloe, I was just so challenged by their honesty, their openness, their willingness to come to God, to ask God to be open and honest and thirsty to know, to discover, to find out. And I was thinking as I was talking to them about my own prayers and about our prayers and how honest and open and willing and keen and eager to learn are we when we come to God. Well, this letter, 1 John, that we're looking at was written for a very specific reason. John tells us in chapter 5 and verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. It's written to Christians, to churches like ours who believe in the name of Jesus. But it's written to encourage us to go deeper, to go further, to grow, to not be content with where we are, but to, like those children, long to learn more, to know more, to go deeper and to grow. And as we go through this letter, we are asking the question, how then can we go deeper? How then can I go deeper in my faith, in my understanding from this passage? And we started last week, as I've said, with the introduction to the letter, verses 1 to 4 of chapter 1. And in verse 5, the letter sort of takes a bit of a turn. And John speaks now about light and darkness, about sin and forgiveness. And at the very heart of this passage, John is urging his readers to walk in the light. And that's what I've put at the top. If you've got one of these pink pieces of paper, if it's helpful, use it. If not, leave it. But at the top there, walking in the light. That's what I've called this sermon, this talk today. And what John does, for a very particular reason, there's a reason why he's talking about sin and forgiveness and light and darkness, because there were some claims going around, some lies being told in the church that he's writing to. And three in particular, which are on the sheet, which we're going to talk about today. The first one, sin doesn't really matter. The second one, I'm not really a sinner. And the third one, I haven't really acted, done anything sinful. And we're going to look at these three and we're going to think about how does John address those three claims that people were making. And encourage you as you listen, as you look, to have the Bible open. It's page 1225. Make sure that I'm not just making things up here. And be open, as those children were open, to allow God to speak to us this morning through his word. That some of our ideas, our assumptions maybe, would be questioned and changed by God as we go through. So the first one then, sin doesn't really matter, verses 5 to 7. You see it in verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with God and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. If we claim that we're Christians, but how we live doesn't matter, well, we're saying sin doesn't really matter. That's what we're saying. And how does John counter that? How does John answer that claim? He says this: "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." God is light. If we hear nothing else today, if we fall asleep from now to the end of the service, three words there: God is light. Not God is a light. Not God is like a light. Not God is one of many lights. No, God is light. And this message, John didn't make up. He didn't think it up himself. It was given to him from Jesus. This is the message we have heard from him, in verses 1 to 4, talking about Jesus. This is a received message, not something John has come up with himself. God is light. Now, light in the Bible, it stands for truth, for revelation, for purity, for holiness, for majesty. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Now, walking in darkness, that means sort of habitually living in a sinful way. And we remember again here that John is writing to Christians. He's writing to the church, not people outside the church, people in the church. Sin doesn't really matter was something that was said inside this church. But what do we mean, you might be thinking, what do we mean by sin? And one of my favorite definitions of sin is, you think about the word sin, what is at the middle of sin? I am. And when we were in Thailand one time, I realized this doesn't work in other languages. And it wasn't me, but somebody else was preaching, and the translator was really struggling, because in Thai, the middle of sin is not I, it's ah, of the word, and so it doesn't work in every language. But in English, it works quite well, that at the center of sin is me. I am at the center. But you may have your own definition of sin, and we will disagree with one another over certain aspects of what we consider to be sin or not. Alcohol, shopping on Sunday, number of other things that we may disagree over. But let's come back to see, what does John, how does John describe sin, define sin? Because John doesn't label certain behaviors and say, that's sin, and that's not, and that's sin, and that's not. No, he points us to God. And he says, God is light. And so whatever is opposed to God, whatever wants to stand in place of God, whatever is set up in his place is sin. God is light. God is light. That's where John points us to define what he's talking about. And maybe for us, as we think this morning about going deeper with God, maybe we've been held back by this way of thinking that sin doesn't really matter. Perhaps there's parts of our lives, our actions, our thoughts, our words that we know are wrong, but we've sort of justified them to ourselves. It doesn't really matter that I say this or do this or think this. And John would say to us this morning, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So walk in the light. And notice what he says will happen. You will have fellowship. Verse 7. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Again, from last week we heard this, the importance of being in that partnership, in the church fellowship with one another. Let's hear that message from John today. Let's stop believing, if we are believing it, that sin doesn't matter. If God is light, let's stop walking in the darkness and walk in the light. But the second thing that's being claimed in this church, verses 8 and 9, is subtly but importantly different. If we claim, verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Claiming to be without sin. Now, maybe there were people who were going the other way. I'm not saying that sin doesn't matter. They're saying, well, we have no sin. We are without sin. We now walk in the light and we are not sinful. It's a mistake. Here in verse 8, some were saying, I'm not really a sinner. I'm not opposed to God. I've got no pride or greed or lust or envy or anger or laziness. None of that is in me. And actually, this is as dangerous as the first claim, because it can lead us to depend on ourselves to be right with God. The service we've offered, those hours yesterday I was here for the fun day, those hours that I spend in this or that service, the help I give to others, the money I give to the poor. And Jesus told a parable, didn't he, about two people who came to the temple to pray. It's in Luke chapter 18. And a Pharisee and a tax collector came. And the Pharisee came first and he was all loud and proud. And he said this. He said, I thank God that I'm not like those other people. I thank God that I'm not like that tax collector over there. I fast, I pray, I give money. And the tax collector who crept in at the back, quietly whispering, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Do you remember what Jesus said? Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. One of those people was pleasing to God, the other wasn't. I'm not really a sinner. If we claim to be without sin, says John, we deceive ourselves. And verse 9, he points us again to God. He points us to God. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just. That's where John points us to counter this claim. To counter the claim that we are not really sinners. And maybe for some of us, we thought, if God knew who I truly was, he would want nothing to do with me. If God knew the things I've done and said and thought, he'd be horrified. He'd be ashamed. Well, John would say to us this morning, God is faithful and just. Faithful to his promises to take away our sins when we confess. Jesus has taken the burden of fear and worry that we're not good enough for him. We can be honest as those year two kids were honest with God. We can be like those children when we come to him because God stands ready to forgive us. Maybe later today or sometime this week, you might want to turn back to Psalm 51 and use that psalm as read it slowly and let it sink in as you come to God and confess to God that maybe you have been believing this lie that I'm not really a sinner. John declares, God is faithful and just. So the final claim that John deals with here is in verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. Now, this claim is saying this. It's saying, I haven't really acted sinfully. I haven't really done anything sinful. It's slightly different, but it's importantly different to the second claim. And this is where we find John, for the first time in this letter, in chapter 2 and verse 1, addressing his listeners as dear children. My dear children. He's writing passionately as to his own children. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. You see, John cares for his children and he longs for them not to sin. He's already told us God is light. Sin matters. And yet, look what he goes on to say at the end of verse 1. But if anybody does sin, once again, John is writing to the church. He's writing to Christians. What acknowledgement here? The acknowledgement here is that Christians do and will sin. And when we do, John assures us, we have an advocate with God. We have Jesus advocating for us. And that's another word. What does advocate mean? It means someone who is called alongside, a mediator, an intercessor, a helper. When my grandmother was unwell and moved into a care home, the local authority in North Wales appointed an advocate for her. And this advocate would go with my grandmother to meetings with doctors and social services sometimes, represent her if she wasn't able to travel, and represent her interests in those meetings. The advocate is the one who stands alongside and helps. And once again, John counters the claim that I haven't really acted sinfully by pointing us to God. He says, look at what God is like. God is our advocate, standing ready to be alongside us. And this advocate doesn't argue with God that you or I are innocent of these sins. No, he argues that the price has been paid. He argues that he has provided all that is needed to let us go free. Verse 2 of chapter 2, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He has achieved for us being at one with God, being put right with God. The most awesome demonstration of love in human history. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. It's good how John 3:16s have been worked out. 1 John 3:16 says this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. A picture of love. In love, because of love, for love, God sent his Son to die for us. And in love, because of love, for love, Jesus willingly took on that role, taking our place for our sins. I haven't really acted sinfully is the lie. When we believe that, John tells us, we make God out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. John would point us to the way that Jesus has laid for us, the provision of forgiveness that he has presented us with. So we have there three claims that were being made in the church that John is writing to. Sin doesn't really matter. I'm not really a sinner. I haven't really acted sinfully. Now it may be that as with those year two children in the primary school, there are other things that are on your mind. Other questions, other claims that people have made that you've heard that you are suspicious of or doubtful of. And maybe we can take from this passage a lesson in how to deal with those. Because what John does again and again here, he doesn't try and argue around the detail of what's being said. He points to God. He points to God. Sin doesn't really matter. John replies, but God is light and there's no darkness in him. I'm not really a sinner. John points us that to God who is faithful and just. I've never really acted sinfully. John points us to God as our advocate, the sacrifice that's been made to set us free. And I hope we find here in these passages, these verses, a combination of a challenge to be people who walk in the light and reassurance of forgiveness available when we mess up, as John fully expects from time to time that we will. He invites us, God invites us, to come and receive his forgiveness, to walk in the light. We're going to finish our service in a moment as we sing a wonderful hymn, Rock of Ages, and delighted to have Sylvia to play that for us. As we prepare to sing, let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you for the call to be people who walk in the light. And yet we acknowledge, as John acknowledged, that we often do go wrong. We often stray from what you've called us to. And we may be guilty of believing some of these lies, that sin doesn't really matter, that I'm not really a sinner, that I've never acted sinfully. And we take this moment now to confess those sins before you, to ask for your forgiveness and your restoration. For we trust and believe that Jesus has provided all that we need to walk in the light. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's see these words of blessing from 1 John chapter 5, because John wrote these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. We say the words of the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Evermore. Amen.